about, you know, we had such a awesome move here last weekend with Charles Jacobs. God moved in mighty ways, and a lot of people received a lot from the Lord. Healing and deliverance and uplifting, and many things happened. But you know, some of us, I include us, all of us, didn't receive, you know, or didn't seem to receive. And I'd just like to talk about that a little bit this morning to kind of encourage us. I want to come from chapter 15 of the Gospel of Matthew, breaking the bread of life a little bit here this morning. Can start in the 21st verse. It says, "Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon." I'm going to be reading New King James Version this morning. So he's gone to the region of Tyre and Sidon, which is a Gentile area. "Behold, a woman of Canaan," Gentile woman, "came from that region and cried out to him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely possessed, demon-possessed.'" Now, there's a couple things right away that really strike me. Last weekend we had many people come up and they said, "Have mercy on me, Lord. Pray for me, Charles, because I have a family member who is in need." Here is this Gentile woman. She's coming up for her daughter. She didn't bring her daughter with her. She's asking God to heal them. And people were up here asking for God to heal, not them. And she's crying out, "Have mercy on me, Lord." But what's Jesus' response here? He said, but it says here, verse 23, "But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she cries out after us.'" Now, this seems like the disciples saying, just get rid of her. But really, if you look, what they're really trying to say is, give her what she wants so she'll quit crying after us. Send her away, meet her need, and send her on. "But he answered and said, 'I was not sent except to the lost sheep and the house of Israel.' Then she came and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, help me. I have a daughter in need.' But he answered and said, 'It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs.'" And little dogs is really kind of a softening of what the Jewish people felt of the Gentiles at the time. They called them dogs. But their dogs was a dog they had that would be like a member of the family, like their personal dog was the intention. And little dogs is even a more softening of that. So if you understand that, it's not as cruel as it would seem to us outright. But so, and she said, "Yes, Lord, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." And Jesus said something so significant. He said, "O woman, great is your faith." You see, even though Jesus wouldn't talk to her at first, and then he told her, "You're a Gentile, and I'm only here for the Jews," she still persisted. So persist. She wanted Jesus' attention. She wanted healing for her daughter. And even though we may not have received at the moment we were prayed for, at that time, persist. Ask and keep on asking. God is a good God. He hears our petition. And he told her, "Great is your faith." Only two people in Scripture did God say had great faith. Who were they? Both Gentiles. One Canaanite woman and the centurion. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? He was called to the Jews, and yet it was the Gentiles. I'd be one of those. Yeah, how about that? Great is your faith. Have faith in God this morning. He will meet our need. He's here to do it. Amen. We're going to worship this morning. Let's pray for a moment. Father, we thank you so much for gathering us together as a body of believers and the moving of your Spirit. Your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Your kingdom come right here, right now, Lord. We gather together, one heart, one accord here. We want to worship you, Father. We want to praise your name, Lord. And we all just gather together here to sing and to praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand. Let's worship the Lord this morning.
Mood ring. Yeah, okay. You tell. When you guys tell, I don't remember. Serve a great God. So, Father, I thank you for what you've spoken so far, what you've done, and I thank you for the rest of it, what you're going to say. And I pray, Father, that you would just speak through your humble servant. Even help me in my humility, I ask. Lord, just bless us, we pray in your name. Amen. Did you notice when I got up, I went to the left first? No. I discovered one day I always go to the right, so I've been trying to mix it up. This has been an interesting week. I've talked to several people over the week, and I was going to go with one direction. I was going to pick up where we left off on the armor of God. And I think I can literally say for a good part of the week, and I think Chris would say this, would agree with this based upon some of the things I said to her through the week. And I've really been kind of wrestling with God this week. And it really goes right along. I just told Terry, it's wonderful that we both hear from the same God. But that's happens all the time, and I appreciate that. We had an amazing time last weekend. I had the privilege, Chris and I had the privilege of spending a lot more time with Pastor Jacobs than you guys did because he stayed with us and he slept in one of our beds and we fed him and he played with our dog, even though he did kind of diss me about the dog, if you remember last week, about who the priest of the house is. It wasn't me, it's Teddy, the dog. But, and he said, and remember, but I felt better when he said, just about every place where he's gone, pastors have dogs, it's the same way. So I felt a little bit better. Obviously, I'm in the flow of God, or we're all out of the flow of God, one of the two. But I've been just thinking about things and so forth, and especially thinking about, why does this person get healed and why doesn't this person get healed? And so I'm just going to kind of share from my heart. And as to what God kind of shared with me. Okay? I want to say unequivocally clear, God heals today. Unequivocally. He heals today. And I believe with all my heart, we're going to see more and more of it. James Dino sent me this thing on the Jim Baker show, which I didn't even know Jim Baker still had a show. But, and what was the guy's name again, the prophet? Mark Taylor. And he got my attention when some other people there indicated how he had prophesied in 2011 that Donald Trump would be president and that he had prophesied the death of a Supreme Court justice. And it was not long after that that, what was his name? Scalia died. Okay, and he's prophesied some other things and some of the things have come to pass and some of the things haven't. Now, we never want to base our theology or our doctrine on a prophetic word. But it can be a tool of being encouraging. And as it builds upon the Word of God, and as you've heard me say before, I don't believe there's as many prophets out there as prophets think there are out there, or the people think there are out there, okay? Now, that's not dissing anybody. I'm not sitting around going, that's a prophet, that's not a prophet, that's a prophetess, she's not a prophet, prophetess. I'm not doing that. But I hold that office in high. I also believe, as Paul said, we are all to seek to prophesy. Okay? So that doesn't mean we can't. But a prophecy can be walking up to a brother and sister and saying, you know, you are God's chosen. God loves you. Now, he can also give some direction. Like I saw you in India, and you can go get behind me, Satan, or you can pray into it. You know, it's up to you. But God is raising up his true church. And in this prophecy that I'm talking about that James sent me, they were saying some things about the church. And I really believe there's two churches today. There's the true church of God. It's not located in any particular local church. And I think it's spread through most, if not all, local churches. But I also believe that there is another church. You can call it carnal church, you can call it an apostate church, you can call it whatever you want to call it, okay? And again, I'm not being judgmental, but they're not walking in the power of God, and they're not even really, in some cases, unfortunately, not even preaching the gospel, okay? Again, I'm not dissing anybody. I'm not walking around town, oh, I'm going to put Ichabod over those doors, and I'm going to put God's here over those doors. I don't know, but I suspect that because of the lack of power and the lack of the gospel going forth that I often see, okay? So we had many healings last weekend. People in the church, people without outside of the church. I was blessed, not so much when Mary's leg was lengthening. I was blessed as I was watching my sister-in-law watch the leg be lengthened. She was in disbelief. She just like, shock. Maybe shock's a better word, but the expression on her face was priceless. Okay? And then my niece and nephew, Owen and May were standing right there watching it too. And they were prayed for, and they're walking forth, believing that God has healed them. You know, unless like you become like one of them, okay? And there's some other funny stories I could tell you on that, but I'm not gonna go down that road. But to my perplexity, if that's a word, not all got healed, including myself. I'm not making a bad confession. I'm just stating the facts. I can't say I know why. I can't say I know everything. In fact, the longer I walk with the Lord, the more I realize I don't know so much. You know, remember how I've said after 2 years of walking with the Lord, I had him 95% figured out. 42 years later, it's 1 times 10 to the minus 800 dropping rather quickly. Doesn't mean I'm not growing in my knowledge of God. Not at all. I am. But he's huge, folks. He's huge. Like I say, when we get to heaven, no scripture to back this up, just my own gut feeling. When I've been there 1,000 years to a thousandth or to a trillionth power, trillion years to a trillionth power, which is a long time, and I see God that day, if there's days or whatever there is in heaven, I'm going to see something new because he's that big. He's that huge. I just know that there's no formula. And I'm going to give you some personal examples from my life and from other things that I've seen. Obviously, the biggest example of my life is my late wife, Suella. She had cancer. She didn't get healed. Frankly, from my perspective, if anyone was going to be healed, it would be her. That's just my, humble but accurate opinion. There were people in a convent in New Jersey praying for her. There was a church in California that got together and laid their hands on a cloth and mailed it to her to put upon her body. There's people to the north and the south that I knew of that were praying for. People praying. There were people from England that came over that had seen healing, had prayed for people to be healed, that went in as a group and walked out crying because she ministered to them more than they ministered to her. All kinds of people came by the door and said, if you do this, if you do that, or if you pray this, or if you pray that, or you approach it this way, or you approach it that way, then she'd be healed. Now, I understood those people wanted Suella to be healed. I understand that. I did too. But the problem was, God had told she and I he was taking her home through scripture and through a prophetic dream that was had information in it that nobody knew besides her and I. I don't know why. I really don't. Personally, I'm here, and you know the story, because my mother, my 99-pound mother, and an angel picked a car up off of me that would have squashed me. I'm here because somebody else had faith for my aneurysms when I had no faith, because I was in such pain. I had Barrett's disease. Barrett's disease is not a fun thing. I don't know if you know about it, but it's due to erosion right at the top of your esophagus, somewhere up there, where the, what's that, epiglottis? Epiglottis? Because I've got hiatal hernia. Well, I used to. I don't know if I've got one now or not. But because of that, and I had two doctors tell me it would never go away. One doctor tried to talk me into a surgery. It wasn't a pleasant surgery. To where you can never throw up again or belch, and had some other side effects. And I said, no. I prayed. I've had two endos by two different doctors since then. They said, no, you don't have Barrett's disease. But I prayed for other parts of my body with the same faith, the same way, and still here. I'm not saying I have answers to this. Some folks got healed this weekend that believe in healing. Well, there was a person that got healed that goes to a Baptist church where cessationism is often taught. Oh, I know of other national and international folks who have seen healings, but not all. Not everybody they prayed for. I know of some non-believers that were walking down the street or doing this or doing that, God healed their bodies in the midst of their non-belief and their anger. Why didn't he heal some other people here who are his children and have belief? I prayed for some people that have seen them heal. 4, 5, 6, 7, I don't know what over my life. And I've prayed for some, and I haven't seen them heal. Praying for them the same way. There's no formula, but I'm going to give you a formula. In fact, Terry already gave you the formula. Persist. Keep going after God. Keep praying. Keep seeking. Don't give up. Todd White, this amazing person. Google his name on your computer. Sorry, that was a big word, computer. You know, one of my delights of preaching is how I tell jokes and everybody stares at me and how I say things and people laugh. I always wanted to be a comedian, but I just can't do it. But anyway, he prayed for 1,000 people, he says, before he ever saw anybody healed. Now he walks into coffee shops or walking down the street or whatever, and God speaks to him and says, go. And he does. John Wimber, one of my heroes in the faith, said he'd rather pray for 1,000 people than see one healed than not pray for any at all. But he saw many healed because he persisted, because he went after it. See, one of the things I think we can do is we can zero in on one scripture and we can build a doctrine, healing, whatever. It doesn't matter. Check out the whole Bible. I like what Pastor Charles said last week. It's not me. It's God. If he said that once, he said it 10 times. So you want another formula? It's God. Second thing, there's no condemnation. If you don't get healed, don't walk in condemnation. God knows what he's doing. God's up to it. Romans 8:1. If you don't receive healing, don't walk in it. It's the devil. He will come and lie to you and accuse you and condemn you. Another reason, it's not like God doesn't like us or he's mad at us or anything like that. He adores us. He loves us. He's enthralled with us. See, number four, God never stops loving us. Romans 8:35. You know, he never stops loving us. Nothing shall ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. He loves us. He's always with us. Number five, even in the darkest of valleys. Psalm 23:4, I'm going to read it to you from the New Living Translation. I like this. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. Why? For you are close beside me. You never leave me. Another thought to roll around in that little brain of yours. His ways are higher, Isaiah 55:9. So my ways are higher than your ways. Another reason not to try and figure it out. Just pursue him with expectation. And last one, I just wanted to throw out there. Contrary to belief of some people and myself at times, God does not exist to serve me. We exist to serve him. But he is a God of blessing. He is a God of healing. He's a God that loves to bless his children. Look around. Let's see. No, I don't see anybody missing food. Everybody's living in a house. Everybody's got a car. Everybody's got nice clothes. Everybody, you know, and everybody here is saved. Those are some pretty good blessings. Some of you have been healed. Some of you haven't yet. Yet. And when I say yet, I'm not talking about when you go to be with the Lord, you're going to walk in total healing. You will. But I believe God heals here today. I just don't want us to get down ourselves or let Satan beat us up and all those other things. So what are we to do? We're to go after God. I say this prayer at times. And the first time I said it, I have to admit, I was really scared. And he didn't kill me. And the word was, and the prayer was, God, it says in your word, you wrote it. I'm asking that you honor it. I'm still alive. Okay? Say it nicely. Okay? But it's his word. I mean, there's things he says, and we have to look at the whole word. You've heard me use this word before, antinomy. You know, there'll be this truth and this truth, and they look to be in conflict with each other. And you can find scriptures in healing that deal with healing that appear to be antinomies that are in conflict with each other for which there's no logical conclusion, or not conclusion, to where they can be rectified together. But remember, we're dealing with God. He doesn't live in our world. We live in his world. And we need to understand him. See, we need to delight in him, like it says in Psalm 37:4, that if you take the, and again from the New Living Translation, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. I tell people all the time, when people come to me and they say, well, you know, my child's not serving the Lord. I go, do you desire that they do? Do you delight in the Lord? Done deal. I wish I could say it's next Tuesday. Okay? I can't. Just like I can't say that you will be healed tomorrow. Our prophecies will come. You know, that's why I say you can't build your theology and your life upon them. Because quite frankly, I was prophesied over by three prophets, three people I recognized as prophets back in April 1983. Going to be what? 44 years. 34 years. Some of it's come to pass. Some of it hasn't. But I'm trusting it's all going to come to pass before I die. Okay? When you get a prophecy, we're going down a little side path here. When you get a prophecy, pray into it. God confirms it to you. Keep after it. Keep praying. Don't forget about the microwave. You know? Done. Where's it at? 34 years, I'm still waiting for some of this. But I know it's going to come because some of it has come to pass. Part of it came to pass when we started this church. Even after a pastor told me, no way, you're not qualified. And he's right, I'm not qualified, but God qualifies the non-qualified. We need to be like the blind man that Jesus prayed for in Mark 8. That, remember, he said it looks like men walking like trees, or it looks like trees. What did Jesus do? He prayed for him again. Okay, well, this is Jesus praying for a person, and they didn't get totally healed the first time. Now, then the second time, so you can say, okay, well, I'll pray twice. No, that's not the point. Keep going after him. Get with him. Pray, read, fast, study. As we do, we're going to grow in intimacy with him. We're going to grow in relationship with him. We're going to grow in blessings with him. And our faith will grow. What's it say in Romans 10:17? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. This is the word of God, but also listening to the word of God. You guys speaking the word of God to each other, encouraging each other. That's why he's got Ephesians 4:29 that we're supposed to say, let no unwholesome word come from our mouth toward each other. We need to be constantly encouraging and building up each other. Oh, the power within a church that would be released where everybody is encouraging and strengthening, edifying, building up each other. Wow. And when we fail, there's God's grace, repentance and forgiveness. He is a God that heals in this day, today, tomorrow. And I believe it. The scripture in Matthew 8:17 says that he took our illnesses and bore our disease. He took them and he's bearing them. There are many scriptures to discuss healing. And then my favorite scripture of all time when it comes to grace is Romans 8:28, that even when he doesn't heal you, he's using it for good things in your life. There's vineyards in them valleys. Our job, keep seeking him. Keep persisting. Keep praying. Keep reading the Bible. Keep encouraging each other. Keep running the race that God has set before you. 1 Corinthians 9, Matthew 6, keep seeking first the kingdom of God. Don't get discouraged. Let him be God. He's still working good things in us. I know in my life there's been many, many, many vineyards in the valleys that I've walked through. And I'm better for it. But he has always, always, always never left me or forsaken me. And he's always been close by my side, as it talks about in Psalm 23:4. Scripture in Mark 16:18 makes this comment, makes this statement, that the sick will recover. Now, when you look at that adverb-verb combination in the Greek, what it implies is a continuing event. So it may take some time, may not take some time. No formulas. Keep praying. It just might take some time, or it might not. And keep trusting God without any negative spirals. I like what Oral Roberts used to say. Everybody here has heard it. Expect a miracle. Expect a miracle. We need to come to church expecting. We need to come to church expecting. Not because of who we are, because we serve a God that is amazing. You know why I don't, I had this conversation with somebody not too long ago. Well, you have to be at church every Sunday because you're the pastor. The day I have to be at church every Sunday because I'm the pastor is the day I resign. Bold statement. I come to church because I expect God to do something. I come to church because I want to see you guys. I want to see my family. I come to church because I want to come together as the worship team. We are all part of the worship team, from the back wall to the front wall. Some of us play different things. Isn't it cool to hear the clarinet? The violin? You know, we need to work with Frank that we need to pray that they don't have these meetings on Sundays anymore in Kansas. Either that or he wins the publisher's clearinghouse so he doesn't have to worry about it. I finally got an amen. But at the same time, we want to make sure we don't put the miracles above the miracle giver, the miracle worker. We always want to be about God. And I know, church, it can be hard because we can be prayed for and we don't receive a healing. And then the person right beside us gets healed and we're tempted to get mad at God. Our slew foot comes and says, what's wrong with you? Don't you have any faith? Don't you have this? Don't you have that? You're a second-class citizen. Does God not like you? And then we're supposed to rejoice that our brother or sister was healed. I'm just being honest, okay? I'm just being real. It can be hard. But by God's grace, we can walk in faith, which will get stirred up as we pray, as we read, as we fast, as we listen to Him. It's good to listen to prophecies. It's good to hear what's going on in the rest of the world. Be careful what you build your foundation on. But it's good. God does heal today. But, as Pastor Jacob said last week, it's God. It's not him. I tell you what, I wish you all could have got to know him a little more than you did. He has an amazing heart. He's a humble man. He loves God. He readily admitted to me he doesn't have all the answers, but he serves a God who has all the answers. And he will be back. I guarantee it. And I'll let you know when he's going to be over in Sedalia, in case you want to drive over there. But let's not have the white microwave mentality. Let's put it aside. And if we get prayed for and don't get healed, just walk away from it. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. Don't get mad. Don't say he doesn't heal. Persist. Run after him. Get others to encourage you. If nobody's encouraging you, walk up to somebody and say, encourage me in the area of healing, will you? I'm discouraged right now. Nothing wrong with that. Oh, that's a bad confession. I'm sorry, we can't do that. Instead, let's just isolate ourselves and spiral down. No, I'm not doing well. Encourage me. Don't just say pray for me, encourage me. Speak some good things into my life. It's what the body's about. But let God be God. But I believe with all my heart that God will answer. I believe his perfect will come to pass. Over the weeks coming up, to last weekend, I had a recurring vision. I saw, it was like I was standing out there on St. Mary's. And I was looking at what I call a front. The post office calls that the front for whatever reason. But looked at the front of the church. And while I was looking at the front of the church, I saw the windows of heaven open. And I saw this. I wish I was an artist, but imagine the shape of our church like that, which is what it looks like from there. And then imagine this bunch of lines coming down, and as they get to the building, they spread out and cover the entire church building. And as I inquired of God, I felt that what he was saying was that he was pouring on rushing wind upon us, the rushing wind of the Holy Spirit engulfing the building. And I believe last weekend there was a spark set in this place. I really do believe that. And that spark's going to turn into a fire as we have a part to play. Do we want to be just caught up with normal life, kind of put God on the shelf and be a 166 Christian, 166 hours a week? I mean, 2 168 Christian, you know, come to church, have this good time, and then go home and get caught up in life. I know there's life. No condemnation, okay? There's life. But sometimes I think we can look at our life and go, is that really necessary? Is God really the center of our life? No condemnation, okay? I'm not sitting here thinking of somebody going, okay, now's the right time that I'm going to prophesy to James. Remember all those times, James, that you go, the Lord says? See, I got to say the Lord says. No. But I think it's good to look at our lives and say, am I persisting? Am I going after God? Am I encouraging others to go after God? Am I praying? Am I seeking? Am I praying for Ross and Taylor, who had this amazing vision for their property? And by the way, when they let us know, we're going to have a work day out there. Ross has done, and Taylor has done, a lot of work around this building. If you haven't seen the women's bathroom, go look at it. Men, make sure you knock on the door first, so please. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing the painting that Dan and James have been doing. We're about to attack that wall, at least with a coat of primer, and that's as far as we're going to go until we know exactly what we're going to do. Now, that's a joke I told last weekend and got some laughs. I have to remember that one. Some of you are going, what is he talking about? Well, I said that these spots up here were covering up the tomato stains where people were throwing tomatoes at me after the last sermon I gave. But let's go after God. Let's be a church that is known for seeking first the kingdom of God. It's going after him. Now, I don't believe then when Pastor Jacobs walked out of here on Sunday night, that healing stopped until the last time we have Pastor Jacobs here. I don't believe that for a New York heartbeat. And I think God gave me a strategy that we're going to do that involves you. So I want you to be obedient this morning. If you have ever had a prophetic word over you that you would be used in healing, either indirectly or if God spoke to you directly, healing and ministering to people, I want you to come up here. Just kind of stand in a line. If you can come up here, Terry. Cool. Sweet. Here's what we're going to do. If you guys can extend your hands toward them, we're going to pray. Terry and I are going to pray a prayer of release and set you in to that ministry in this house. Okay? That God would rend the heavens and anoint you. Okay? So, let's just, it won't take long. I like the Pastor Jacob's model.
Yes.
Father, we just pray for our brother.
Yes.
Just release him.
Yes.
We accept and we believe and we support it. In Jesus' name.
Sensitivity to the Spirit, Father. That he knows and